Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This episode of the Bears Talk Underground is brought to you by Sports Drink, your digital water cooler. Sports Drink is a newly created internet community that tries to find the intersection of sports and not sports. They're here to help us grow and to hate your favorite team. A rising tide lifts all boats, so go check them out online or in social. Go to sportsdrink.org or open Instagram and type in Sports Drink, spelled like sports drink but without the vowels. So S-P-R-T-S-D-R-N-K. All we ask is that you close the door behind you. We're trying not to let out the funk. What's up, guys? Week number 3 of the NFL officially in the books with the Cowboys topping off the Giants tonight, 23-13. So let's go ahead and we got 16 games to get into for this week. I'm not sure when the bye week start. I think it's maybe week 6, week 7, something like that. So we're going to have a full 16 game slate for the first little chunk of the season here. And it was another crazy week. I did not do well with my picks. I needed the Sunday and Monday night games to keep me above 500, and I lost them both. So this will be the first week of the season where I'm below 500. You know, week 1, I was just above it. Week 2, I was right on 500. Now week 3, I'm below. So, yeah, we got some work to do for week 4. Maybe I need to do some more studying and some more gut feelings and what have you. So let's go ahead and get into it and dive right into our week 3 recap. This is the week 3 NFL review episode of the Bears Talk Underground. So let's get to it. Hang up the telephone. I hear the dial tone ringing out loud. Our very short season would tell me that whether or not I get the Thursday night game right is going to determine how the week goes. Because week 1, I was correct in picking the Bills over the Rams. But in week 2, I lost picking the Chargers over the Chiefs. And in week 3, I lost with picking the Steelers over the Browns. I got both of those games wrong. I guess I need to stop picking the road teams now. The Bills were just lights out against the Rams, but the last 2 weeks I picked the road teams and it was the home team that came out on top, you know, including this past Thursday with the Browns and the Steelers. You know, the Browns coming off that comeback loss to the Jets where they had a 2-touchdown lead with the last, you know, minute 58 or something like that to go in the game. First, they give a 66-yard touchdown pass to get the Jets within one score, and then the Jets recover the onside kick and score the game-winning touchdown. Well, there were, what, 3.5, 4 days removed from that, I don't want to call it an embarrassment, but definitely a huge disappointment. And so maybe it was a good thing they're playing on Thursday because they bounced right back to beat the Steelers, 29-17. I mean, and this was a game that was pretty even through 3 quarters before the Browns just put it away in the fourth. You know, Jacoby Brissett, say what you want about him kind of being the Band-Aid solution or a game manager. I mean, he's not statistically impressive, but he's effective and efficient. Once again, you know, he helps the Browns get the win, 29-17 over the Steelers, making me 0-1 on the week, and the omens are there. You know, there's good evidence that if I need to get the Thursday game right if I want the rest of the week to go well. And this Thursday's game is going to be, I mean, on paper it seems like a pretty easy choice, 3-0 Miami versus 1-2 Cincinnati, and it's, I believe it's in Cincinnati as well. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know if the Bengals have finally figured it out and they're bouncing back, but, you know, they beat the Jets. We'll talk about that here in just a minute, but, you know, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But
Before we head off to Miami or New York to talk about the Cincinnati game, we got the Titans and the Raiders. The Titans had a 24-10 lead at the half and were shut out in the third and fourth quarters by that Raider defense. And the Raiders had a chance to tie this game. They scored a touchdown with a minute 14 left in the game. But this time, the Titans, unlike the week one against the Giants, the Titans did not let the two-point play go through. It was a pass attempt from Derek Carr, was batted down in the end zone. And I believe it said it was nearly picked as well. So the Raiders, or excuse me, the Titans were able to preserve the win. The Raiders are 0-3 under Josh McDaniels in this young season, and the ever so patient Raider faithful are already calling for his job. So, yeah, you know, you have the week one loss to San Diego, a divisional loss, but it was a road game. So, you know, that happens. But then week two, you have a 20-point lead over the Cardinals and you blow it and then lose it in overtime. And then week three, you're down 24-10 at halftime and have to claw your way back and then fall just short for an opportunity to send it to overtime. It wasn't like they were going to win if they got the two-pointer. They'd be going to another overtime contest, and they came up short there. So, you know, like all the money they spent in free agency, the draft picks they gave away to get Devontae Adams has not resulted in wins yet, and it also really hasn't resulted in much offense for the Raiders. You know, they only scored 23 points last week against the Cardinals, 22 again this week against the Titans. I believe they only managed like 17 points against the Chargers week one. So, yeah, they spent a lot of money in free agency, gave up a lot of capital to get their hands on Devontae Adams, and right now it's not paying dividends. So Raiders are 0-3 right now. I think they're only one of two winless teams at the moment. The Titans finally get their first win. This was a battle of 0-2 squads. The Titans finally get off the schneid there, get their first win. Give me my first win, and I need them. They're desperate this week. Upset of the day on Sunday, the Colts against the Chiefs. The Chiefs' defense was effective. The only touchdowns that the Chiefs were able to score came off of turnovers. The Colts turned the ball over in their own territory, and the Chiefs were able to take advantage of the short field and put the ball in the end zone. Otherwise, they were pretty effective in shutting the Chiefs' offense down. You know, this offense that was so explosive against the Cardinals, where they just, you know, basically tried to break the scoreboard out there in Arizona week one. They were able to put up, you know, enough points to get past the Chiefs last week, although they got some help with a pick six from their defense. They were pretty ineffective, especially on the ground game. Mahomes was the leading rusher, 26 yards in this game. So Edwards, Hilaire, and all their other running backs got nothing because the quarterback scrambling was the leading rusher of the football game. And it's not like Mahomes made up for it like he did against the Cardinals with his week one performance where he threw for like 450 and five touchdowns or anything like that. It wasn't that kind of day for him. You know, the Colts finally get themselves a win after an embarrassing road loss to the Jaguars last week. And I watched a video last week after they lost to Jacksonville. This guy was basically detailing how ridiculous the losing streak that the Colts have in Jacksonville is. I wish I'd have seen it before I did the review episode last week, because this would have been interesting. But it's like, they haven't beaten Jacksonville in Jacksonville since like 2015 or something like that. It's like an 8-year streak. And what's most compelling about that losing streak is that, like, the records of the two teams during that time, there's like a 30% win percentage difference. As far as the Colts, I think, are around 500 over the last 6-7 years. And Jacksonville, as we all know, well below that. Like, maybe they may have won thanks to the 2017 when they went on that run and almost went to the Super Bowl, when they made it all the way to the AFC Championship game. Thanks to that year, their winning percentage was in like the low 30s. So it was like there was like a 28% win percentage difference, and the team with the lower percentage is the one that's undefeated, not the other way around. It's like he went through a bunch of things where it's like, okay, and during this stretch in the 80s, the Bears beat the Packers, you know, 9 games in a row or whatever. Wouldn't we love to see those days again? But 9 games, you know, 9 years, 9 games in a row, something like that, or every year in Soldier Field for 8 years or something like that as well. And of course, this was a win percentage when the Bears were averaging like 12 wins a season and Green Bay was one of the worst teams in the league. So the difference in winning percentage was quite steep there. And the Bears, being the better team, always won. And this is like the complete opposite, where Jacksonville's one and only victory in 2020 was beating the Colts in Jacksonville. And then last year, they were 2-14 going into the last game, and the Colts needed a win to go to the playoffs. So obviously very different winning percentages there. The Colts were trying to go, I think, 9-8 or 10-7, something like that, and the Jaguars won their third game. So huge difference in winning percentages there. It was really interesting. Sorry to go on a tangent, but, you know, nonetheless, the Colts, despite getting blanked in Jacksonville 24-0 last week, were able to score a touchdown. Matt Ryan to Jelani Woods, 12-yard touchdown, 24 seconds left in the game to take the lead. It was a 16-play, 76-yard drive that took over 8 minutes of the final nine of the game to put the Chiefs on top, and then they put the button on it. But I think they picked off Mahomes to close off the game. So kudos to the Colts. That's got to be the upset of the week. I definitely would not. I mean, obviously, I didn't pick the Colts to win, so obviously that wouldn't have been my upset. But I don't think I actually had one this week. I don't think I was thinking about it too much when I was recovering from that cold that my teeny tiny little 2-year-old niece gave me that just bowled me right over last week. So Colts get the win. I take the loss. 1-2 so far in this week. Here comes some more losses. I was convinced that the Bills were going to be invincible. Never mind that 100-degree heat that is just debilitating out there in South Florida. The Bills were getting killed by the heat, and constantly guys having to come off the field with cramps. I think I read that they had like 3 guys that had quote unquote heat illness after the game. That's dangerous, man. Super, super dangerous. You know, it's as they say, it's not the heat, it's the humidity. I've been to Florida one time. I went to Florida once in November when I left, because it was when I was at Western Illinois and our football team played South Florida in Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. So I didn't go to Miami, not even, you know, I didn't even go far south as Miami is, but I went to Tampa, and at 7 o'clock, which it was a Saturday night kickoff, 7 o'clock in Raymond James, it was 86 degrees with about 9,000 or 7,000% humidity. It was unbelievable. Late November, when we left Illinois, it was 42 degrees outside. We step off the bus in Tampa. It's in the 90s and humid. It was disgusting. I hated it there. I don't know how it is that people retire to Florida. Like, live, like my aunt, my mom's younger sister, her and her husband, who I guess would be my uncle, moved down to Florida. That's where they're basically going to retire. They're still working now, but that's where they want to live out the rest of their days. To hell with that. To hell with that. No. Lived in Chicagoland their entire life. Now they're going to go live in Florida. I don't know how you do that. Honestly, I don't. You know, to live in an area that has seasons, that also has humidity in the summer. The humidity up here in you know, Illinois and Iowa and the Midwest, it sucks. It's thick and it's disgusting and I hate it. That's why I hate the summer. I always have. But, and then you go down where you have that weather, I don't know, 9 months out of the year or something like that. It's ridiculous. I don't know how you do that. Anyway, I guess I'm just all full of tangents today. Turns out that Dolphins defense is legit. After the Bills were racking up the points in the first two games, they demolished Tennessee last week. They put up 31 against the Rams the week before that. Held to 19 in this one, you know, and the Dolphins turned the Bills away at the goal line after a 17-play drive that took up 8.5 minutes. They came up short at the 2-yard line on 4th and goal. Massive in that I mean, 17 plays, 8.5 minutes, and you come away with nothing. That is something else. So kudos to that Dolphins defense that kept the Bills under 20. This game is going to go down in infamy for the now historic butt punt, where the after that fourth and goal stand that the Dolphins defense took, the offense goes three and out, and they're punting from their own 2 yard line. The punter, who's got his heels literally on the white paint, takes one step forward to try to kick the ball and just about shoved it up the ass of his back in front of him. Instead, it careens off his coccyx or whatever out to back of the end zone for safety and brought the deficit from 21-17 to 21-19, and the Bills get the ball back. So they took that ensuing drive with about a minute or so left on the clock. I'm pretty sure – I don't remember I watched this. I don't remember if they had a timeout or if they were fresh out. I don't know if they had one and then used it or if they were just completely – out of timeouts, but they actually got the ball into field goal range, or at least the bleeding edge of the field goal range for their kicker, but they couldn't spike the ball. The pass receiver was tackled in bounds, and by the time they got to the ball and went to try and spike it, clock had already been at zero for a second or two. Ball game was over. So the Dolphins triumph 21-19, and then Ken Dorsey kind of made himself famous, the Bills offensive coordinator, by destroying, you know, trying to do a Tom Brady and destroying his tablet and, you know, everything upstairs in the coaching booth. And, you know, you like to see that kind of emotion from your coaches. It show that it really means something to win a football game, or to know that you were that close to winning, you know, not to mention a 17 play drive that eats up 8.5 minutes and you come away with nothing. That's got to be frustrating as well. I mean, and here's a frustrating stat for you Bill fans out there. The Bills ran 90 plays versus only 37 for the Dolphins, and the Dolphins won 21-19. I mean, when they meet back up in Buffalo, I'm sure they're hoping it's going to be one of those late December matchups where there's a foot of snow, you know, where each fan in the stands is sitting on a foot of snow to pad them as the Dolphins come into town for the rematch. But, yeah, that one's got to sting. I'm sure that there were many things that Buffalo would like to have back, including some of the guys that they were missing in this ball game, and the guys that they lost along the way because of the heat stroke and all that kind of stuff. Probably cursing the names of the NFL for sending them to South Florida in September when it's still summer down there. So, but I picked the Bills to win. They fell short, so I'm, what, 1-3 now so far? Not looking good. But I go on a little streak here, as you see, starting with Minnesota at Detroit, taking on the Lions, an NFC North battle. The Vikings looking to rebound from their Monday night loss to the Eagles. I mean, handedly, 24-7, something like that, 31-7. And it looked like it was going to be another long day for them. The Lions jump out ahead to a 14-0 lead and then get another double-digit lead, 24-10, going into the fourth quarter. The problem was the Vikings kept storming back. You know, the Vikings scored twice in the final 8 minutes, including a 28-yard pass from Cousins to K.J. Osborne with a less than a minute left to take the lead. And, you know, just like that, the Vikings, you know, score 14 in the fourth quarter to win the ball game. And the Lions, instead of being 2-1, are now 1-2. They came up short in this one. But I think it's apparent with the way that they've been playing, the way they've been able to actually score points, which was an enormous Achilles heel of theirs last week, or last year, I should say. The Lions are going to be a problem. They're not going to be the easy out they have been lately. You know, it just seems like I remember when I was talking with my Lions guy, Jeremy Reisman, after we met them in week 4 last year. You know, they were 0-3 because they didn't win their first game until like week 13 last, like the week after they played the Bears in Thanksgiving, which ironically was against the Minnesota Vikings. The first three games where it's just like they got, you know, beat by the 49ers, but the 49ers had like a 31-8 lead, and then they came roaring back, and they made it a one-score game at the end. Week two, they dominated the Packers in the first half, and then the Packers shut them out in the second half while, you know, taking the game back. And then week three was against the Ravens, where the Ravens needed an NFL record 66-yard field goal to beat them. And the same thing happened to them in Chicago. They got inside the red zone three times, came away with 0 points. It was like a turnover on down and two turnovers. You know, they came away with 0 points on three red zone trips. They were able to move the football and get into the red zone, but they, you know, kept giving it back to us, which I'm sure we as Bear fans appreciated. So I texted Jeremy and I told him, I was like, if you guys ever figure out how to put a 60-minute game together, you guys are going to be a problem. And they didn't do it much in 2021. They went 3-13-1 last year, but you know, they've, I mean, week one against the Eagles, they were coming from behind, same as they did to San Francisco last year. And then last week, week two against the Commanders, jump out in front and basically never look back. And then this week, it looked like they were about to do it again, but that whole not playing 60 minutes thing got in front of them. What was really interesting is that the Lions went 4-for-6 on fourth down. They went 4 on fourth down 6 times. So, and also their defense took a blow as they lost safety Tracy Walker for the season with a torn Achilles. So we'll see how much that affects them going forward. But Vikings bounce back from the Eagles' loss. The Lions falter after beating the Commanders last week. Vikings 2-1, Lions 1-2. Victory for me because I picked the Vikings. Now we're at 2-3. Now we go to Chicago. Bears home for the Texans, and you guys know how I felt about this one. The Bears had 363 total yards, but 281 of it was on the ground. Passing game still a huge problem. Whether it's, you know, Justin Fields not reading it right, not trusting his eyes, you know, not having confidence, too much hesitation, too much thinking, maybe, whether it's a scheme issue, guys not getting open. It's, you know, every play has its own story to tell. You go back and you look at the film and it will tell you that. But, you know, it's like on the surface to the fat guy on the couch, it looks like Justin Fields is not playing well. So, but despite that, 281 yards on the ground, 16 tackles and an interception from Roquan Smith set up the game-winning field goal in the final minutes of the game. Cairo Santos with three field goals on the day, including a 50-yarder, put the game winner through as time expired. And, you know, the MVP of the game, Khalil Herbert, stepping in for the injured David Montgomery with 157 yards on only 20 carries and two touchdowns. So, outstanding performance from the second-year player. Bears eke it out with a win, go to 2-1, and Texans go to 0-2-1. Interesting. So, but it's another W for me, so I'm even at 3-3 right now. And like I said, I go on a little run here. Baltimore and New England, our next game here. Lamar Jackson, you know, just doing it all by himself. Four touchdowns he threw, ran for a fifth as the Ravens bounce back from last week's come-from-behind loss to the Dolphins. Mac Jones threw for 321 yards, but also threw three interceptions. Left the game with a high ankle sprain that's supposed to keep him out for several weeks. I mean, they're even talking surgery, which ironically enough would shorten the recovery time, is what I'm hearing. But for us as Bear fans, we play Mac Jones in a few weeks on Monday Night Football, or we're supposed to anyway, and it sounds like he won't be back for that game. So interesting to see what the Patriots will do at the quarterback position. I think Brian Hoyer is the first guy off the bench. But if he's not the guy, I saw a video on Twitter today suggesting that they bring Cam Newton back, and he did some time in New England and what have you. So we'll see what they do. It's early in the week still. It's only Monday, so we'll see what happens with that. See if the Patriots do anything with it. They fall to 1-2. Ravens bounce back, go to 2-1. I take another W. We're at 4-3. Now we go out to the Meadowlands where the Jets hosted the Bengals. The Bengals do get their first win after an 0-2 start, and quite frankly, they should be 3-0 after this. They had their chances to beat the Steelers week one, and they, you know, they had their opportunities against the Cowboys last week as well. I did not look to see how they did with their pass protection this week. I did not look up how many sacks the Jets had. But Burrow was 23 of 36, 275, three touchdowns, no picks. So he wasn't hurting his team like he did in week one and also in week two as well. The difference in the game, though, was Cincinnati being able to finish their drives because the Jets had to settle for four field goals from Greg Zuerlein. Those were the only points they were able to put on the board. And as you just heard, Burrow threw for three touchdown passes. So that was the real difference in the game, was that Cincy's offense was able to finish, the Jets' offense was not. Joe Flacco could not bring back the magic he created last week in Cleveland, and the Jets fall short to 1-2. The Bengals improve to 1-2 and avoid becoming an 0-3 team, which statistically or historically basically eliminates you from any hope of the playoffs. I mean, it's happened before, but statistically your chances are like in the single digits if you start the year 0-3. So, but the Bengals get the W, as do I, so I think I'm 5-3 now as we move through, but that's about to change here in just a moment. But my last of this winning streak here, the Eagles at Washington taking on the Commanders. The Eagles with a 24-8 win over their division rival. All 24 Eagles points were scored in the second quarter, you know, giving them a 24-0 halftime lead. The Eagles sacked Wentz 9 times in this game, 6 in the first half, and Wentz fumbled the ball twice, so completely shut the Commanders down. That touchdown came late, like in the fourth quarter when the game was all but decided at that point. And, you know, Jalen Hurts, good God, man. I started off saying, you know, I don't think much of Jalen Hurts, and he's had 3 outstanding games right out of the gate, 340 yards and 3 touchdowns, whereas last week it was all on the ground for the Eagles. This week it was through the pass. The Commander defense kind of took away the run game, so Philly just went to the air. 340 yards for Jalen Hurts, 169 yards for Devontae Smith, the Heisman Trophy winner from Alabama. He had a touchdown. He had 156 of those yards in the first half, so he had a quiet second half, but then again, so did the entire Eagles offense because all their points were scored in the second quarter. But it was more than they needed, as the Commanders were only able to muster 8 points for the game. So, you know, Wentz getting banged up 9 times. We Bear fans know what it's like to watch a quarterback get sacked nine times in a game. As a matter of fact, actually, like the 1-year anniversary of that. It was week 3 against Cleveland last year that we had to suffer through that shit. But anyway, Commanders get the win. I get the dub. That puts me at 6-3. But, you know, that's where I think that's where my confidence ends, because it gets ugly from here on out. Panthers in Carolina hosting the Saints. It's another NFC South game for the Saints. They've, you know, started with the Falcons, played Tampa Bay last week. So now clean sweep. They got the Panthers this week. So they got the first round of division games out of the way. Not much going on offensively with this one. 22-14, the Panthers win the game. Carolina offense didn't score a touchdown until the fourth quarter. It was a big play, though. Laviska Shenault scoring a 67-yard touchdown pass from Baker Mayfield in that one. Pretty much put the game away for them. Our former kicker, Eder Pinheiro, 3 field goals for the Panthers in the win. Jameis Winston threw for 353 yards, but was picked off twice in the fourth quarter to help the Panthers come away with the win here. After winning the first game of the season against the Falcons, the Saints have lost 2 straight, and what hurts even more is that their division games, too. Those games count a little more than the rest of them do. But so they're 1-2, 1-2 in their division. The Panthers get off the schneid. They get their first win after disappointing losses the first 2 weeks of the season, you know, coming up short against the Giants last week, and, you know, a 58-yard field goal from a rookie kicker beating them week one against the Browns. So the Panthers were needing one. They were on a 9-game losing streak starting from last season that they finally snapped in this game. I'd pick the Saints, so I take the L down to 6-4. Boy, the Jags are out to make me pay for not getting that first week pick right. I picked them to beat the Commanders week one. I thought they would. They almost did. They come up short, and then they go on a rampage where in the last two games, they're winning 62-10 because they beat the Colts 24-0 last week, and where I knew about the losing streak in Jacksonville and picked the Colts anyway. Dumbass. And this time, I was like, there's no way the Chargers are losing to Jacksonville. They've had 10 days to get ready for this game from since the Thursday nighter against the Chiefs. The Jacksonville has to scour the entire country, you know, from Jacksonville flying all the way to Los Angeles to play the Chargers. They say Justin Herbert's going to play. Looks like they're good to go, but you can call it an upset if you want, but the Jags won by 28 points. When you win by 28, it's not an upset. Okay, it'd be an upset if the Jags won 38-35. You know, they just kind of eked out a win. It's like, no, they pretty much put their foot dead in, I was going to say San Diego, dead in the Chargers' ass and just left it there. You know, Lawrence threw for 262 yards and three touchdowns to help the Jags snap an 18-game road losing streak. And the Chargers were shorthanded. That's no excuse, but they were missing Corey Linsley, their center. Starting corner, J.C. Jackson, Keenan Allen, who was obviously a big part of their offense. They were banged up with Herbert, obviously nursing that rib cartilage injury. And then they lost Joey Bosa and Rashawn Slater, you know, their all-pro defensive end and their, you know, first-round pick from last season, offensive tackle. They think Slater might be done for the year with a bicep injury. Bosa is out indefinitely with a groin injury. So it's one of those soft tissue injuries. You're just going to have to wait for that thing to heal on its own, as we Bear fans know, because Velus Jones still hasn't played a goddamn game yet for the Bears. So, I mean, he made a nice little appearance in the Seattle game in the preseason, and then his hamstring flared up again, and we haven't seen him since. So we know about those soft tissue injuries. You know, the game was close, though, 16-10 in the third quarter before the Jags went on a 22-0 run to close it out. And you know, quite the impressive win for the Jags. And could they be turning the tide here? Could things be changing? Is it that, you know, what ruined last season was Urban Meyer being in way over his head at the NFL level? You know, because everything points to the fact that he tried to coach professionals and grown men like he did young men and boys at the college level. You know, you're not at Ohio State anymore, bro. That's not how it works around here. You can't talk to me like that. You got to show me some respect while you're coaching me. If you don't know how to do that, you shouldn't be here. So he wasn't. And Doug Peterson comes in. He's led a team to a Super Bowl. He's coached a young quarterback to the next level. He's got a gem in Lawrence for sure. So the Jags might be onto something here. I'd be interested to see how it all goes from here. I forget who they're playing next week, but I think I actually like them in that game. So We'll find out on Friday when we do the review for that one. But, you know, obviously I picked the Chargers to win this game. The Chargers take the L. The Jags are 2-1 now. They lost that game to Washington, but they've won two straight. When's the last time the Jags won two games in a row? It's probably been a while. Chargers fall to 1-2 after getting the first win over the Raiders and falling to the Chiefs, and obviously the Jags here this past Sunday. I think I'm 6-5 now with this loss. Help me out here, L.A. The Rams heading into Arizona, take on the Cardinals. Stellar defensive effort from the Rams. I mean, it was a bend but don't break game for them as they allowed 365 yards of offense for the Cardinals, but kept them out of the end zone. Only four field goals for Kyler Murray and company. Cooper Kupp and Cam Akers adding rushing touchdowns to help the Rams improve to 2-1, you know, bouncing back from that disappointing opening game loss against the Bills. And what other interesting statistic that I saw when I was reading up on this game, the Cardinals are 2-7 in their last nine games. So dating back to when they were like, I don't know, 10-2 after beating the Bears in Soldier Field last year, I believe they're on a 2-7 run. I don't know if that includes the loss to LA in the wild card round last year, or if we're just talking regular season games, which is not good. And the Cardinals are not putting themselves in a position to, actually they're doing the opposite of what they've done the first 3 years under Cliff Kingsbury. Like under Kingsbury, they've gotten off to these faster starts. Last year, obviously, starting 10-2, and they finished 11-6, I believe. And you know, now with the with this year, you know, they're off to a 1-2 start, and they needed a miracle to win last week, that comeback against the Raiders after getting shellacked by the Chiefs in the first game of the season. You know, I thought the Arizona saga would be interesting because they have this track record under Cliff Kingsbury of going off, getting off to this fast start and then crumbling at the end of the season. That's the only reason the Bears made the playoffs in 2020 was because Arizona just pissed it all away at the end of the year. And, you know, it's like if they do that again and then their crumbling is documented on the in-season Hard Knocks starting in November, nobody's coming back. I mean, the GM's gone. Cliff Kingsbury's gone. They're starting from scratch again. You know, it's like, but it's like they're kind of putting themselves in a spot right now where we might have an interim coach by the time Hard Knocks takes place in November. I mean, it's getting ugly out there in Arizona because they are not playing well right now. So, I mean, granted, they played the Chiefs and the Rams in the first, you know, two of their first three games, but, you know, they're capable of a lot more. They're still shorthanded. They still don't have DeAndre Hopkins. He's got another 3 weeks before he can come back after the suspension and everything. But, you know, that might be the only saving grace is that they really have never – they haven't had their full football team on the field just yet. But they fall to 1-2. The Rams go to 2-1. I picked the Rams to win, so I got a win. That puts me at 7-5. Yeah, 7-5. As we head into our final games here. Atlanta on the road in Seattle to take on the Seahawks after losing, after their comeback bid came up short against the Rams last week. The Falcons actually stayed on the West Coast. I think they were in Seattle the whole week getting ready for this game rather than flying to Atlanta and then flying back out again. So these guys haven't been home for like 8 days. And, you know, it's a good strategy, I guess, and it looks like it worked out for the Falcons. It was a back-and-forth game. The Falcons finally took control of with a 14-yard touchdown pass from Mariota to the rookie Drake London with 35 seconds to go. Former Bear Cordero Patterson, who should still be a goddamn Bear. Goddamn you, Ryan Pace. Had 141 yards rushing on 17 carries and a touchdown for the Falcons. Geno Smith had a chance to try to lead the Seahawks back, but their comeback bid fell short when the Falcons picked him off in the final seconds to seal the game. Falcons 27, Seahawks 23. I thought the Seahawks had this one. I did not take into account that the Falcons were staying on the West Coast. I didn't even think about it. So, you know, but that's one of those things you see. An East Coast team going out west, and it's something about that cross-country travel that seems to hinder a team's ability to really show up for a football game sometimes. I mean, it was proven wrong twice this week with the Jags going out to Los Angeles and Atlanta being out in Seattle all week, but, you know, so maybe it's just one of those things, but this week it was not. It was not one of those things. Falcons beat the Seahawks. I picked the Seahawks. I come up short 7-6 now. Packers and Buccaneers. I really toiled over this game with the Packers and you know, coming through. It was like with as good as that Bucs defense has been these first couple of weeks, how dominant they were against the Cowboys. They shut down the Saints, only allowing 10 points last week. You know, I really thought they had a chance, and it's that ugly Florida weather with Green Bay coming to town. Coming to them instead of the other way around. I really thought it was Tampa's game to lose, but they continue to struggle on offense. They're absolutely just getting nothing done on the offensive side of the ball. But the Bucs were without basically their receiving core. Julio Jones and Chris Godwin were out with injuries, and Mike Evans got suspended for fighting last week. So I mean, they signed Cole Beasley off the street like 2 days before the game started. You know, it was like guys like Scotty Miller and Breshad Perriman were their starting wide receivers in this game. So, you know, Green Bay knew pretty much all they had to do was shut down the running game. And it's like, you know, it's weird to think that the strategy is to go with Tom Brady in putting the ball in his hands, but it was more about who he was throwing it to than it was about Tom Brady's not going to beat us throwing the football. So, you know, both he and Rodgers had, you know, decent games, 250 plus for Rodgers, 270 for Brady. But the Bucs didn't get into the end zone. It was 14-6. The Bucs finally score a touchdown, 14 seconds to go. They go for two, and it fails, and that seals the win for Green Bay. You know, 14-12 being the final score. So the Bucs defense really getting it done. They are absolutely getting it done, holding the Packers to 14 first-half points and shutting them out in the second half. But, you know, the Bucs are just super struggling on offense. It's like scoring points was easy for them last year. And it's odd. You know, Byron Leftwich didn't leave. He's still there. So their play caller is still there. The, you know, obviously with Todd Bowles sticking around on the defensive side, their team is essentially intact. Yeah, Bruce Arians moved into the front office instead of coaching from the sidelines this year, but everything else is pretty much the same. And, you know, they're just not getting it done on offense. 19 points against the Cowboys, 20 points last week against the Saints, and now only 12 against the Packers. Now, granted, the Packers have a top 10 defense, but, you know, when your defense is doing the job for you and 17 points is enough to win, you got to get it done. And unfortunately, the Bucs didn't get it done. I got the pick wrong, so now I'm 7-7 going into the Sunday and Monday night games. And spoiler alert, I already told you how that went. Broncos and 49ers on Sunday night, probably one of the more boring games you'll ever watch unless you really love defense. But, you know, this was kind of the equivalent of a pitcher's duel in baseball, and I hate pitcher's duels. I really do. As a matter of fact, I don't really care for baseball to begin with, but, you know, pitcher's duel just make me want to open my veins. I just can't stand it. You know, Russell Wilson and company barely eke out a win. They had 9-3 and outs, and I think just barely 100 yards passing in this football game. This is only the second game in NFL history with 11-10 final score. The other was a game between the Steelers and the Chargers back in 2008. The game was highlighted by Jimmy G pulling a Dan Orlovsky by basically stepping out of the back of the end zone. Wasn't as egregious as Orlovsky, who was literally running for his life outside the white paint of the end zone when Jared Allen was about to sack him in the end zone. He literally just stepped outside into the white of the back of the end zone there. And the good news is it was just a safety, because when Jimmy G planted that foot, he threw the ball. It was picked off and run into the end zone for a pick six, but it didn't count because the play was already dead. So I'm sure the 49ers were happy to take the 2 points over giving up six in that one. But, you know, it was a boring game. The Broncos, kind of like the Bears, limp to 2-1. Not a very impressive-looking 2-1 team right now. The 49ers fall to 1-2. And, you know, give me the L. I thought the 49ers would come in and really dominate this football game. It didn't happen. I picked too many road teams this week. It's like most of the home teams won, and, you know, the few road home teams that I did pick, I think quite a few of them let me down. So I got to really pay attention to that. And then a home team that did let me down, the New York Giants, taking on the Cowboys tonight on Monday. The game just wrapped up about an hour or so ago. And the story of the game is this. Cooper Rush just wins football games. You know how they used to say back in the day, Chris Carter just scores touchdowns? Well, Cooper Rush just wins football games. He's 2-0 as the starting quarterback for the Cowboys, replacing the injured Dak Prescott, who says he's coming back week 5. Well, good luck with that. I hope it's all right. And, you know, I want you fully healthy week 8 when the Bears come to town so we can kick your ass. So, but, you know, Cooper Rush just gets it done. He beat the Bengals last week. He goes on the road and beats the Giants this week. CeeDee Lamb missed an easy touchdown. He just flat out dropped it, went right through his hands in the second quarter, but made up for it with an amazing one-handed touchdown grab in the fourth quarter to put the Cowboys up for good. One thing the Bears are going to want to keep an eye on in this game coming up, because we play the Giants on Sunday, Barkley had 81 yards rushing. Daniel Jones had 79. And we've got a kind of a weakness for the run game. We were better this week against the Texans. Damian Pierce only had 80 yards as opposed to Jones and Dylan running for over 200. But, you know, they can still hurt us in the running game. That is an Achilles heel of this defense thus far. But Daniel Jones was sacked 5 times. So if we can get to him, maybe that can be helpful to us. But, you know, the Giants had a 13-6 lead and then get outscored 17-3 for the Cowboys. They close out the victory. They increased to 2-1, and that is it. Give me the L. That makes me 7-9 on the week, below 500. I forget where that puts me record-wise for the season. I think I'm still a game above 500. Let me take a look here real quick. Do some quick math for you. All right, so 7-9, and my record coming into the week was 17-14-1. So you add 7 to the wins, that's 24. 9 to the losses, that's 23. So 24-23-1 after 3 weeks. So thank God for that tie with the Texans and the Colts is what's keeping me above 500 right now. So anyway, there you have it, folks. That is going to do it for the Week 3 NFL review episode of the Bears Talk Underground. And, you know, as far as player of the week, obviously, you know, Trevor Lawrence is a candidate, Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson. But in the vein of being a homer and also not picking a quarterback this time, I'm going with Khalil Herbert. 157 yards on 20 carries, so 7.5 yards a carry, if not more. 2 touchdowns in relief duty, coming off the bench to take the mantle from an injured David Montgomery, and played a huge part in helping the Bears get the win over Houston. So, sue me. I'm going with my guy, Khalil Herbert, player of the week for Week 3 in the NFL. So, there you have it, guys. That's going to do it for the Week 3 NFL review episode of the Bears Talk Underground. Come back on Thursday when we'll have we'll be previewing the Bears and the Giants, and then Friday we'll preview Week 4 for the rest of the NFL. And until then, my name is Larry D, and this has been Bears Talk Underground.